This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode available every week. We're available at thehollywoodoutsider.com, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. I'm Aaron Peterson. I'll be your host for this special episode. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, The Hollywood Outsider likes to bring interviews with independent filmmakers to give you an insight into what goes into getting those films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. This time, I'm talking with Eric Englund. He's a director of such films as Contracted and the upcoming Huntsville with Sophie Turner, as well as this new film, Get the Girl, which stars Justin Dobies as Clarence, a wealthy young man who is in love with a local bartender named Alexandra, played by Elizabeth Whitson. Unfortunately, Elizabeth is oblivious to Clarence, as often happens in our lives. Desperate to win her affections, Clarence decides to do what any rational man would do, and hires Noah Segan's Patrick to kidnap Elizabeth so Clarence can save her and be her hero. So when Elizabeth shows that she's no damsel in distress and ends up killing one of the kidnappers, things just keep going darker and darker. In terms of perspective, I would say look at Get the Girl as a romantic take on Very Bad Things. That's very close to what kind of movie it is. I had a really fun time with Get the Girl. I definitely recommend it. Please check it out when it hits theaters and on demand on January 27th. In the meantime, take a listen to our interview with an exciting up-and-coming director as we discuss his journey to Hollywood, his love of Hitchcock, which I might add is the greatest director of all time, and especially his new film, Get the Girl. Here is our interview with Eric Englund. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm well.
Your movie's interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah? Good, thank you.
I'm looking...
Hopefully it's a compliment.
That is a compliment. You should use it as an advertisement for Match.com or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first thing I always ask anyone who I interview is, what motivated you to even take on the life of being a filmmaker? Was there a moment in your life where it just hit you, or what brought you to this point?
Great question. It's kind of a combination of a lot of things, really. I wanted to kind of pursue, just a standard life compared to, where I come from, which is small town, rural Arkansas, where you either grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, a coach, or, work in some kind of blue collar job. And just like my parents did and everything. And that's kind of what I always thought. And, I was going to go to college, tore my Achilles tendon. I was a basketball player. And so I realized I was a terrible student, and then there's no way I could do 4 years of college without any kind of extracurricular activity. So, I, on a whim, really just decided, I've always loved movies. It was kind of always on my bucket list to try and like write a movie or write a novel or something of that sort. And I kind of just said, I'll see if I could try and do something with this, and moved to LA when I was 19. Obviously I was a huge movie fan before then, so I'd seen a lot of movies. Thankfully my parents were extremely young when they had me, so I was exposed to a lot of R-rated cinema at an early age because they were young and probably didn't know they shouldn't show me those types of movies. And so I was exposed to a lot of cool movies at an early age, and saw, I remember sitting in a movie theater, like 9 years old, seeing Wes Craven's Scream, for the first time and things like that. So moments like that had a really huge impact on me, and seeing things on VHS back home and stuff like that. So it was kind of a melting pot of all those instances, really.
What was your biggest inspiration for directing? Do you have a specific director that you really idolize?
Yeah, I've got a few, actually. I'm a big, it took me a while to really, be able to articulate what a director was and understand it for myself, mm-hmm. So I remember watching like Tim Burton movies, not knowing that one person was kind of, the singular vision behind those. I just knew they felt similar or things like that. And when I was able to understand that, it was kind of coming from the same brain, that was when it really kind of clicked for me. So I'm a big fan of obviously Tim Burton, but I'd say my favorite director is probably David Fincher. I'm a big Hitchcock fan as well. And those two kind of go hand in hand in my opinion. But yeah, I would say those two are kind of the pinnacle for me as directors, but I'm influenced and inspired by numerous people across the board for sure.
Hitchcock's my favorite director. What's your favorite Hitchcock movie? Just curious.
It's cliche, but Psycho. I'm a big Psycho fan. I'm one of those weird people that just pop on Psycho at any point in time. But I also love Rear Window. Oh, I'm one of the few people I know that really adores Rope. So I've got a few Hitchcock favorites.
Oh, you're speaking my language, man. Rear Window is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it's just phenomenal.
It's beautiful. Rope is too. Jimmy Stewart's so good in that movie. Just brilliant. So,
absolutely. Yeah, there's something about Hitchcock's you know, satirical look at the world, and how even though, you know, these morbid and dark things are happening, there's still this kind of sense of humor that I really respond to in his work. And he doesn't take anything too seriously, which I really love.
Well, speaking of not taking things too seriously, between Contracted and Get the Girl, I kind of want to know, you've got a really interesting look at dating. So where does that come from? I mean, where are these ideas coming from?
My head, I guess. I have no idea. You know, I'm a product of pop culture, I guess. You know, really it comes from, you know, who knows, maybe it is some kind of weird Freudian, you know, subconscious thing. I don't know. But you know, the story for the movie actually came from Graham Denman, who originally told me about this idea for a movie about a guy who kidnaps a girl on purpose. And instantly, like, it was almost as if I was like sitting on social media and someone shared a link to like a news site that was like, there's no way this could be real, you know, and you've seen it a million times. You hear these crazy news stories that turn out to be true. And it just sounded like something I could see actually happening. Like it wasn't, you know, as far-fetched as something like Contracted. And to me, you know, I kind of have this feeling that society is driven by, you know, our urge to, you know, have sex and date and be social and, you know, and things like that. We want that interaction. So when you can kind of put weird spins on those types of scenarios, that's what's really exciting to me. So I naturally gravitated towards that. And then as I was, you know, kind of developing the screenplay and the story, I started to look at it and I was like, okay, how do I make this into a movie that on the surface seems pretty cut and dry, you know, guy kidnaps a girl on purpose and shit goes terribly wrong. And how do I give it more layers and give it some twists and turns so that when you get into the movie, it's not just that. And there's actually, you know, other things at hand that kind of take it into different places and places hopefully you don't expect. So that was kind of the attraction to the story. Was it seemed like a great misdirect in and of itself when I started to kind of dive into the psychology of why would you want to kidnap a girl on purpose? You know, it's like, mm-hmm. There's obviously something very morally wrong with that. And writing that line of morality was really exciting.
Yeah. I got to tell you, when I first saw the trailer, I wasn't sure exactly how you were going to do it. And then when you finally see the movie and you see it unfold, to be perfectly honest, I know guys who have not to this degree, obviously, but have actually talked about doing this sort of thing, like maybe getting in a fist fight. So you come in and you save the girl and, you know, you look like a hero, you know, and it's just like,
yeah,
this exaggerated. I actually thought it was a really clever idea.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I think there's something, you know, interesting about just, like you said, exaggerating reality, you know. And I think if you can, you know, in the context of a narrative format like film, you can go some really cool and crazy places with it.
So when you were developing it and she... And this is known in the trailer, so I'm not really spoiling anything, but, you know, when she is not the damsel in distress, she is not, you know, Alex is a fighter. She's not going to go down just and just sit there.
Yeah.
Was that always the plan, or did that develop with the script?
It was a little bit of both, really. I think once I started really kind of analyzing the idea, I knew right away. I was like, you can't just have a girl who's a damsel in distress, because then, you know, not only is it just diminishing to that role and to women, in my opinion, but it's really, you know, it just doesn't make the story that much more exciting. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, why would you just want to watch these two guys fight over this girl? And that's it. You know, it's like it makes it much more interesting if she's, you know, a strong, independent woman who can, you know, not only just take care of herself in normal day life, but she also, you know, can kick ass. You know, to me, that was part of the comedy that I really saw, because initially the idea was to make it more of a, not necessarily a straightforward horror movie, but, you know, a horror movie with a sense of humor. And to me, I wanted to kind of scale back on the horror elements. I was like, to me, it's a really dark comedy. You know, in the vein of like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang or, you know, Very Bad Things or something like that, where it's, you know, or even a Fargo to a degree, where it's like you're watching this scenario that could actually happen unfold. And it's like the reality of the scenario is partially what makes it so funny. And I was like, what makes this funnier is if she actually ends up kicking their ass on her own, you know?
How did you know that Elizabeth was the right choice for Alex?
Really, just when I met her, she's you know, she's a model. That's her background. So she's tall and she's fit. And I was like, okay, this looks like a girl. You know, right when you meet her, she's got this presence. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. So right off the bat, there's something about her. And then I did a bit of digging into her work, and you know, we sat down, we had coffee, and just getting to know her. She's got a very soulful quality about her. So I just knew right away that she could handle her own, you know, on set, and also just in terms of carrying this role. And it's funny because you know, to her credit, really, I think she brought a lot of the you know, I'm not just going to be the damsel in distress to the role. Inherently, because, you know, there are aspects of the screenplay where it's not spelled out in the writing. And even if I hadn't directed it that way, I think it could have come off as, you know, more she was a little, oh, I'm in trouble and I need someone to save me. But she really took it upon herself to kind of ground the performance in a place of, okay, I don't trust this guy and I don't trust any of these people I'm with. So I have to look out for number one. And, you know, while she and I talked about that, it you know, it's really a tribute to her to kind of keeping that on her mind at all times. You know, and I was constantly going up to Justin and giving him direction, saying, okay, you're trying to sweep her off her feet. And I would go to Beth and I would say, and you think this is the, you know, this guy's a creep, you know, and it's like, you're sitting around a bunch of people who want to kill you. So you're not even trying to fall in love right now.
Which part was harder? You've got Clarence and Patrick. Clarence is very much, I would honestly say almost Tom Hanks-esque, like early 80s, Tom Hanks-esque.
Or, yeah.
And Patrick's the cool guy. So which role was harder to fill?
Which one was harder to fill?
Yeah, for you personally, because it's your script and you're trying to find that right feel and you're trying to get a Tom Hanks-esque character as well as you're trying to get a guy who can – it really evolves. I mean, I really think Patrick evolves throughout the movie a little bit from what I think he's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they both had their own challenges. I think I was probably a little more precious about the Patrick role just because I wanted someone – for me, that role, you really had to buy that character. You had to buy that person, and you had to buy into the bullshit that he was selling that Clarence buys into, essentially. You know, it's funny because Noah Segan, who plays Patrick, he and I are buddies. We almost did another film together in between Contracted and Get the Girl. And it ended up not happening, but, you know, he was kind of always there. And I remember he read the screenplay. And he was like, dude, I've got to play Patrick. And I was like, man, I don't really know if I see you as that. And he was like, come on, man, it's me. And he lobbied pretty hard for the job. And you know, eventually I was like, you know what? Noah's right. Like, Noah can play this guy. And it was great because Noah usually plays like sleazy kind of guys, but usually as like grease balls, you know, and in movies like Dead Girl and, you know, Looper, he plays these kind of grimy characters. And, you know, while he's still quite grimy in this movie, he's a little more, you know, sexed up. He's wearing leather jackets and, you know, and he's got a certain confidence about him that you usually don't see in you know, in his other roles. So I thought it was kind of fascinating from that approach. And then, you know, with Clarence was really, again, you have to ride that line between, you know, nice guy and kind of potentially creepy, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was Justin just rode that line so well, in my opinion, and you root for him, you know, regardless of the morality, he's a genuine and endearing guy. So he was kind of a no brainer.
So for you, what was the most challenging part of this entire shoot? Just trying to, I assume it was a lot of night shooting.
Oh man, it was all night shooting. You know, the shoot itself was a massive challenge. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money. And we shot the entire movie in like 3 weeks, like 16 days or something. So it was an insanely fast shoot. We were shooting almost exclusively in that house for like 14 days or something. And so you start getting to a point where the days start to blur together because you're just going to bed, waking up and coming back to the same house. And it's like, man, haven't we shot here already? You know, so it gets a little disorienting. And then, you know, also you're shooting in LA where there's tons of restrictions, you know, in Brentwood where we were shooting, and there's multi-million dollar mansions, and, you know, you can't shoot guns past this hour. And, you know, the owner of the house doesn't want you to break stuff. And, you know, we're throwing people off of balconies and just stunts. It was just, logistically, it was a nightmare. So, I mean, I look back on it and I can't believe we even attempted to make the movie.
You did good. I was pleasantly surprised. Not that I wasn't expecting it to be good. I like Contracted too, but I had it in my head what the movie was going to be, you know, how you often can from a trailer these days. And it ended up going a lot different than I expected, which I appreciate.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
So what are you doing from here on? I understand you're doing Huntsville, or you just finished Huntsville with Sophie Turner, I think.
Yeah. Huntsville should be done hopefully in the next month or so. We're on the tail end of finishing it up, and you know, we're probably gonna try and take it to some festivals and hopefully get it released later this year. But yeah, it's kind of a weird feeling, you know, getting ready to promote Get the Girl, and you know, it's been done for a little while and gearing up on Huntsville, and gearing down on Huntsville, and then trying to gear up on, you know, whatever's next. So it's crazy point in time, but happy to be busy.
You know, that's one thing people I don't think talk about when they talk to, because for an actor, it's a little easier for an actor to get a week off to do a junket. For a director, you're right in the midst of pre and post, wherever you are at any given time. How hard is that? Because you have to get your mind out of one movie to promote this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny, as we were just jumping on the phone, I'm firing off an email to the composer of Huntsville after hearing some new music cues, and my agent was calling me on the other line. So it's a constant just juggling act, really. I've read two different screenplays today. I've been rewriting one of my own, you know, so it's almost like, you know, having multiple personalities. You just kind of turn one off and turn the other on and get tunnel vision and try to, you know, rabbit hole your way through the story.
That's a good problem to have, though, man. Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you. Yeah, I did a wanted problem for sure.
Well, I know I got to let you go here in a minute. I do want to say great job on the movie. Is there anything you would want to tell people in terms of the movie, to just going into it? I would suggest go blind, but anything you want to leave them with?
I would say that. I would say go in blind. You know, for me, this is, you know, it's funny because I didn't know how people would react to Contracted. And ironically, you know, the response was overwhelming, which is always a great thing. But you know, to me, I try to compare a lot of my movies to alcohol. So it's like, for me, Contracted is like a shot of tequila. You know, it kind of burned going down, and it gave an aftertaste, and it lingered with you for a little while. And so coming off of that, I really wanted to do a movie that just felt like a nice, crisp, you know, cold beer. So it's like that's kind of my approach, is like, just sit down and enjoy Get the Girl and have a good time. And hopefully, you know, you're on a date, which makes you seem like a way cooler guy.
God, what kind of movie is going to be like a Jager bomb for you? That's when it goes bad.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll try and cook that one up next.
Is there any particular genre you're really hoping to tackle at some point soon?
Yeah, you know, I would love to do a straight comedy eventually. My agent would probably kill me if you heard that. But, you know, I want to stay in the darker side of things. I really love thrillers. So anything that's kind of mixed with thrillers, I think I want to do something a little more psychological next, or maybe even sci-fi. So something in that kind of world. And I definitely want to dip into, to crime. So hopefully I'll get into, which Get the Girl is kind of a crime movie. So I don't know. That's just a terrible answer.
No, it's a great answer. It's fine. If they ever remake a Hitchcock movie, jump on board, please. I think you could do it.
Oh, God. I would love to.
All right, Eric. I got to let you go, but I wanted to say thanks and best of luck on the release.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thanks for your thoughts and feedback. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. There you go, guys. That was my interview with director Eric Englund on his new film, Get the Girl, which, as I said, hits theaters and on demand January 27th. Definitely keep an eye out. That was a movie that was a lot of fun. And it's dark, but it's also a fun dark. It's a very dark comedy, I would say. Once again, thank you for listening to the Hollywood Outsider podcast. We do try to bring you interviews with filmmakers in the world of independent cinema when we can. So I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. Please share it if you did enjoy it. Tell your friends. Remember to subscribe and review us on iTunes, wherever you currently listen to us, whatever podcast app you use. Our normal show has a new episode every week and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater to see Get the Girl, buy popcorn.